to the Jenny McCarthy Show on Sirius XM Stars.
Oh my God, she has to use prescription strength deodorant.
I do, thank God. Welcome back to the Jenny McCarthy Show. I'm Jenny McCarthy Wahlberg. Joining me is one of my favorite author and life coaches. He's so good. I hope you guys check out his work, but he gets to sit right in front of me helping us on air today. Tom Gagliano is back to talk about dating. Even us old folks still date, you know, and we need help. How to manage expectations, accept that it's a little harder than it's been, and give yourself the grace to not be okay. Hi, Tom Gagliano. How are you, buddy?
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
Good. I want to plug your podcast, The Problem Was Me. Make sure you guys check it out. It's amazing. And also his two books, The Problem Was Me, and Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, two amazing books. Thanks for coming back to talk to us about dating, because I do get a lot of those questions from people that are like, I got a divorce, and that, you know, dating is... It changes so quickly. Like, just 3 years ago, it's different from today.
Oh, it's crazy. You know, with social media and with digital products, the culture has changed so much.
Yep.
It's just not the same as it was. And
no.
when I talk to young clients coming into me and they tell me what it's like, I'm like, are you kidding me? You know,
right?
It's, you know, what happens is 60% of millennials say they cannot relax unless they're looking on their phones. So they're getting so addicted to digital products and media, and there's a lot of negatives to that, Jenny.
Right.
We're looking for the perfect image now more than ever. Look, we all are attracted to looks, right?
Right.
Throughout time. But now with getting addicted to screens, we're looking for the perfect image, the right height, size, color, hair. Hey,
right.
It's getting where we may be sabotaging finding really good people because we're looking for that image.
No doubt.
Another area that is affected is, you know, I have people that come to me that can't perform sexually. Young people, because of pornography, they're getting hooked to porn.
Oh.
They're getting hooked to those perfect images again.
So and when you say they're having trouble, because I'd like to dissect that more and unpack it, do you mean like when they're intimate with a girl,
they're
the girl's not performing like they are in the pornos, so they can't get it up? Or what is the connection?
They're hooked on that perfect body.
Now,
that's not fair. I mean, it really is not fair to the partners out there that they have to compete against porno pictures.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Not fair.
It's not. And the guys should look at themselves too.
Exactly. And it makes And it makes them feel like they're not pretty enough, smart enough, sexy enough, both ways, men and women now. And it's really becoming more of a problem than I think people realize out there.
It is.
And I'm getting more and more of that feedback. And the other thing is with social media, because our world is much smaller now, we hear what's going on all over the place. It's making us afraid to date. Who are we really dating? Are they who they're supposed to be?
Right.
Because we have a lot of online dating. So we're not really meeting the person until many texting and different things are going on. So right away, we're walking into a date with fear.
Right. And not being authentic selves.
No, it's not.
We're already on dates. You know, I was talking about how you send out your representative on a date. You know, your representative is really selling you. But now it's a whole new level because you're sending out fake pictures, airbrushed,
exactly.
When I say fake.
Exactly.
That's, you know, you're catfishing people.
Yeah.
Just by those filters.
Yeah. So right away, you're going on a date with fear.
Right.
And that's really not the way it's supposed to be.
No.
And here's the biggest thing. And this is where, because of my podcast, I'm having... Thank God, younger people coming to me, couples coming to me, nobody knows how to communicate.
No.
Nobody knows how. We're doing everything over the internet, texting, whatever. We don't know how to communicate. Now, look, at the end of the day, what do you think is going to make a relationship last long?
Right.
Appearances or learning how to share your feelings?
Right.
Learning how to regulate your discomfort? Learning how to regulate your conflict in life? Do you feel better when you're talking to your partner? Like, wow, I'm so happy I spoke to you. Or do you walk away feeling like judged or not listened to? So communication, knowing how to communicate, has become so important. I'm sorry, is always so important,
yes.
But yet we're moving away from that field. We're lacking in that.
You know, as a mother, I would trade PE in school for a class in how to communicate or life skills of we're really lacking that in our kids also. So it's
tremendously. And you know, you make a great point. Here, when I have a young person come to me that's dating, I tell them, listen to yourself. Listen to what you like in a relationship. What don't you like in a relationship? What hurts you? What are you looking for? You know, the one thing many of us forget is the most important relationship we have in this world is the one with ourselves.
Yep.
We forget that. We forget what makes us happy, what doesn't make us happy. So when you're going into a relationship, think about that. Think about it's what you so want to see.
It's so important because it's about you. It's about you, because so many times we tend to sell ourselves and also give up a lot of ourselves. We forget who we are because we're trying to please the other person. And then we're like, I'm always doing stuff for you. I'm doing this and that. And I gave up going out with my friends and I'm not following my career. Or I dropped out to take care of the babies. And then you turn into kind of like a martyr. And it's not, if you started off by going, this is what I want, this is what I need out of a relationship, you won't fall into those traps.
And learning how to validate and acknowledge the other person's feelings.
Yes.
Learning how to put boundaries down. Boundaries are huge. You know, when you did this, it was hurtful. When you said this, it was hurtful. I'm not saying you meant to hurt me.
Right.
But I need to say this if we're going to get closer.
Right.
These are things that young people, because they're getting so addicted, like I said, to computers and texting and all of these digital products, they're forgetting. Now, here's the biggest problem with that, is if I'm not communicating my feelings, eventually, I'm going to feel like I don't matter. I don't care how much you take care of the other person.
Yeah.
You're going to feel like you don't matter. And what comes from that is a destructive entitlement.
Yeah.
And from destructive entitlement, now I'm looking for feel goods in areas I shouldn't be
looking
for feel goods.
Affairs, porn, food,
chat
alcohol.
Rooms, I can go on and on with all of those beautiful things. And what happens is, again, I'm not in a committed relationship, at least not emotionally committed and physically committed. And this is why we have the divorce rate that we have. And
it's
this
so
is
true.
Some of the problems that we have.
You know, and also the emphasis on listening.
Huge.
We don't listen. We're really setting up for what am I going to say next? You know, we do all. I was having this conversation with Donnie the other day, how there's trigger words that we might not be aware that we're saying.
Excellent.
You know, like you never. Those are big words. You never.
Never.
That it makes
always, never, forever.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I do with a couple when they come to me? Let's talk about what words trigger you. What actions trigger you?
Huge.
What situations trigger you? You know, I had a couple that the guy used to say, goofing around, he used to say, she's retarded. And he would say it in a very humorous way, not realizing that it was
feelings.
Destroying her. And now she's shutting down like she did as a little girl,
right?
Not sharing those feelings. And he would come in and say, I can't stand when she makes that face. You're looking at the face of a child.
That's right.
Because what you're doing is triggering her. She doesn't know how to say. When you say that, it's hurtful. Now, I'm not even saying you mean to hurt me.
Right.
But it's hurtful and it pushes me away. The little things in a relationship are what's going to make it long lasting.
Yeah.
That's what's going to make it work or not work. Because no listener out there is promised a perfect life. And nobody's going to have a relationship where you're not going to have conflict or discomfort. And if you don't know how to regulate that and resolve that, you're going to have issues as the relationship moves on.
You talk about Snapchat dysmorphia. Is that what we're talking about with too many filters and things like that?
Sure. Well, you know what? That it's very sad, but more and more plastic surgeons are saying that young women, teenagers now, are coming to them for plastic surgery so they can improve their selfies.
Wow.
Now, think about the mindset of somebody that says, in order to have a long-lasting relationship, I have to have the perfect selfie out there. Already you're setting yourself up for failure, not realizing that that is not going to make the relationship last. And when we come out of a destructive relationship, I tell clients, don't jump right in again because you're going to look for the same qualities looked for before. Stop and think about what could I have done differently?
Yeah.
What didn't I look for? What triggered me, all the things that you're talking about, because we look for the same characteristics coming from childhood, as all my books and all my podcasts talk about, the impact of childhood messages and how those messages influence the intimacy you have or don't have, right. Your parenting skills, careers you choose. Everything comes from those initial messages, because as children, we're egocentric.
Right. And it's amazing how we wind up doing the same movie over and over again with just different actors. It's
different results. Insanity,
it's,
right?
It's insane how we do that. But the best thing I ever did was take that break. I took a year off to just focus on myself.
There you go.
Wow, it made such a difference. I said, you know what? I got to raise my own bar. If I'm raising the bar on guys around me, I keep saying, I'm going to raise my bar, like meaning guys that are going to come to me have to reach this level. And I was like, I've never raised my bar, my own.
Yeah, it's getting to know
doing
you.
Doing that work.
Yep.
Besides the obvious, why do we need and how to resolve conflict the best way? Step by step in using words. Because like you said, you go into your practice and talk to people saying, what are your trigger words? But what are those words to get into solving conflict?
Well, here's how I break it up.
Yeah. Here's
the reasons people do not have uncomfortable conversations. One, we think that we're only going to fight. So why have the conversation?
Yeah.
Two, we think that it's not going to help. So why have the conversations? Three, we think that a partner is only going to gaslight or blame us.
Mm-hmm.
So why have the conversation? Four, we feel that we're going to make them feel bad, codependency, so we don't have the conversation. And here's the fifth one, and generally this is in the man area, is, come on, what do I got to share my feelings? What am I, a wimp here? Come on. And all of those no-talk rules that I call them are all sabotaging your relationship. Tell your partner the story you're making up. Say, listen, my fear is if I talk to you about this, that we're going to argue. I got to put it out there. My fear is if I talk to you about this, it's not going to help. But I got to put it out there because I want to get close to you. Telling your partner that you're doing this because you want to get close to them, rather than telling them, I'm trying to fix you,
right,
is the key to having them move closer or further away. Presentation.
You're right, because, you know, we jump to what is wrong with you without giving that, you know, context ahead of time, going, this is, you know, I'm worried about having this conversation with you because I'm afraid we're going to fight, but I would really like to tell you how I'm feeling and da 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 da.
Right.
So it's kind of making a little bit of a plan, finding that space before you open your mouth.
Yeah.
To think about what you're saying.
And repeating back. Sometimes because we're filtered through messages of childhood, what you say may not be what I hear.
Correct.
So repeat it back. What'd you hear me say? I see you're getting upset. What did you hear me say? And many times, I can't tell you how many times that, whoa, that's not what I said.
Right.
It's what you heard. So it really is having uncomfortable conversations, because that truly is how you enhance your relationship. Walking through the uncomfortable, the ones you don't want to have. But if your partner's on board, and here's the key, if your partner is not on board with making the relationship better, you got to work on you because they're not ready for this. But if your partner is on board and wants to really make the relationship better, both have to stop and say, what can I do to make this relationship better? You know, I tell my clients all the time, the difference between sympathy and empathy. Sympathy is when you feel bad for somebody. Empathy is when you really know how they're feeling.
Right.
It's a big difference.
Huge difference. And I think that that's what's lacking in almost all situations and relationships right now.
Absolutely.
Friendships, strangers, watching stories on the news. Like, we don't put ourselves in other people's shoes nearly enough as we should.
We don't. And you know, it's not hard.
No.
When you see somebody who is upset or sad, if you acknowledge their feelings first before you get into anything else, say, look, I see you're upset. How can I help you? Or I see you're frustrated. Let's talk about it. When you start the conversation right, you don't walk into what I call destructive dance. And destructive dance is where you got to be right, I got to be right, I'm not listening, you're not listening,
right,
and nobody feels heard. So what I tell clients is we want to either stop if they've been together for a while, or if they're not and they're starting, and I'm getting younger clients through my podcast.
Good.
Let's start without a destructive dance, because when that destructive dance builds, you're going to set yourself up to sabotage your relationship.
100%. I know we have a couple minutes left. I want to ask you, for all those people out there that are listening going, yes, but my wife or my husband, they get on this hamster wheel, and I've seen it. I've experienced it myself in my lifetime, where there was a certain one in the relationship that cannot get off the hamster wheel. Till finally one goes, you know what? You're right. Forget it. If you can be right, because they won't get off the wheel. What do you do in those situations?
Again, it really depends on if both want to work the relationship, because it will work. And if you're on the hamster wheel, I would tell people to put out your boundaries. And boundaries are short and specific and fair, okay? If you're on the hamster wheel and you continue the conversation, you jumping right on a hamster wheel with them, and now you're both on the hamster
That's
wheel.
Right.
So what you need to do is stop. Say, listen, I can't have this conversation with you because I don't feel you're listening to me. Let's have it again at another time. Short, specific, and get off the hamster wheel, because they'll try and pull you on the hamster wheel with them.
Yep.
Now, again, a lot of people out there are going, oh my God, that's a lot of work. You'd be surprised that when my clients do boundaries consistently, not Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, consistently, your partner's going to understand, if I pull you on the hamster wheel, you're not going to come on with me.
Right.
So you need to make them short and specific. So, I'm not doing this now.
Okay, so in terms of a boundary, give me that sentence. Honey, we're going to talk about this for 3 minutes and that's it? Is that a boundary?
Yeah, here's my boundary. I feel like you're not listening to me, and I can't have this conversation now if I don't feel heard or listened to. We'll have it another time. We're done. Now,
okay.
I know a lot of your listeners are saying, oh my God, I can't do that. Boundaries are so hard to do when you start them. They're so like, oh my God, I can't do this. But if you consistently do these boundaries, you will come back, and my clients have come back to me and say to me, best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
They're getting it. I'm not going to go on the hamster wheel anymore.
Right.
So short, specific, and of course, fair.
Much like training a toddler to listen to you.
We all go back.
Yeah.
We all go back to being a little kid we feel like our needs aren't met or we're not being heard. And I say, are you talking to your 10-year-old or are you talking to your adult?
I love it. I love talking to Tom Gagliano. You guys, if you want more of him, his podcast is truly amazing. The Problem Was Me. People can call up and talk to you, right?
Sure can.
Okay, great. And they can find it on iTunes.
Also, all over the place, wherever you listen to podcasts.
He also has 2 books, The Problem Was Me and Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. They're both amazing books. Keep up the amazing work. I love to have you, Tom Gagliano.
Thanks, Jen.
We'll be
always
right back,
a pleasure.
Guys. Thank you.
Thank you.